glory is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see. Strangers but happy in this vineyard today, trying to help our Lord and Savior obey. Serving the Master through the new time are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee.
Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see. Weary and footsore ere the battle is won, trusting the promise that we'll hear His well done. Serving the Master all the evening are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee.
Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee.
Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see.
You see, there's light for a look at the Savior, at life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death unto life everlasting He passed, and we followed Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, conquers we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. Thank you, sister. All right, take your Bible, if you would, this morning. Psalm 26, the 26th psalm this morning, if you would. Psalm 26. Again, if you're visiting, we're sure glad you're here. Amen. And we're glad you're here if you're a regular. Amen. Been such a messed up January with all the sickness, it's kind of good just to see most everybody back again. Still got several out sick, and so you want to remember them in prayer and pray that it doesn't come back, that it just stays away. I would be all for that. Psalm 26. We're going to start in verse 1. We'll just read all 12 verses. Psalm 26 and verse 1, David writing, says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide," or "I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord." Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to talk about this subject this morning out of this psalm, David's two great desires. David's two great desires. So let's go ahead and ask the Lord's help as we approach His Word this morning. It's spiritually discerned, amen, so we need help when it comes to understanding it, so let's ask God for that today. Brother Chad, why don't you lead us in prayer, if you would. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to God's Word this morning. As you know, if you're around here all the time or if you read the bulletin, we're getting ready for our 50th anniversary service. We also always have a revival in the springtime, so it's kind of our joint anniversary service, spring revival, coming up pretty quick. And in preparation for that, or as a part of that, we're putting together a presentation that we can show during that week of pictures from past, the blast from the past. Amen. All the pictures we can rustle up, and we can't use all of them, but we're trying to find some. Matter of fact, if you have some, we encourage you to bring those in. Give them to Brother Warren because we need them as soon as we can. It's kind of a big project, and so we're trying to put that together. And as a part of that, we were looking through some pictures this past week, and that's always fun. Amen. When you look back over 20, 30 years worth of pictures. And as we were looking back across that, there was quite a number of people who are here now who were here then when they were taken back then. And so it was kind of interesting looking through it. There were some of the young people who were like 2 feet tall, and now they're married in our church. And you look at them and think, what happened? They used to be so cute. So I don't know what happened to them. But they're grown now and married in our church. And then, of course, you see some of the older folks who were here then that are there now. And you know how pictures are when you look back across the past. You look at them and go, look how young they looked. Look how much hair he had. Amen. Look how thin he was back then. And so you look across that and you think, it's a blessing to see those who are here then who are still serving the Lord and still being faithful. You know, we're so blessed here because we have such a high number of people who are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're working and laboring. And I sometimes, you know, the church does things for my wife and I to let us know they appreciate how much we do. And half the time I feel guilty because we have so many people who do so much. And that's been our history. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful to have almost as much on Wednesday as we do on Sunday. That's a blessing. And then everybody involved. So it was a blessing to see that as I look through that. Then there are also people, as you look through the pages, and I saw some pictures. And I think I remember them. You know, we have a lot of turnover here because of the military, but you look across and you think, I remember them. They were so faithful. They taught Sunday school when they were here. They were involved in everything. They were here every time we had services and just really plugged in, fired up about God. And, you know, they PCS'd or something, or they retired or something, and they've moved somewhere. And it's a blessing to know that they're involved in the church where they are now. They're serving God there. They haven't missed a beat. They just started serving the Lord where they were. and they're still faithful, still in church, and still serving God and living for Him. That's a blessing to see that it goes on beyond here. We'd like to see everybody stay, but we know it doesn't work that way. But those who have moved on, it's good to see that they're someplace serving the Lord, and we hope that Calvary had an impact in their life and that we're still a part of that. Amen. Then as you look through the picture, sadly, as it would be in any case, you look at some faces and some people, and you think to yourself, I remember them. You know, when they were here, they were so faithful, and he taught Sunday school or she taught Sunday school, and they were here all the time and so plugged into our church and just so involved. And you look at them now and you think, now they're not in church anymore. There were several that I looked at and I thought, you know, they're not even married anymore. Their family's falling apart. Their kids are a mess. Their life is a mess. There were a couple of that I looked at and thought, you know, he went through our Bible Institute and was called to preach. And there were two of them that I was looking at in particular. And I thought, now they're not even serving God anymore. And their family's a mess and their life's a mess. And it's not that there's a problem with our church. It's not that there's a problem with the Word of God. It's just that somewhere along the line, something happened in their life that now they're not serving. And I don't say that to be mean to them or to point a finger at them. We know this much. If any of us that are saved today get ourselves in the right spot, that could be us as well. And so I looked at those pictures and I saw how sad it is that this person lost their way and now they're not serving God. There are several I looked at and I thought to myself, man, what a mess. What a shame. Their family's a mess. Their kids are a disaster. You think how sad it is that there was so much potential there and so much right, and now it's just an utter disaster in their life. I don't want that in my life, and I hope that you don't either. We're not the only ones. David didn't want that either, which is what he's talking about in Psalm 26, or one of the things that he's talking about in Psalm 26. David didn't want to be a sad story, and I don't want to be a sad story either. I don't want to be a story where people look and say, well, there's that guy. They used to serve the Lord, or he served the Lord when he was growing up, and now he got married, now they're not serving God anymore. I don't want to be that person. Right. I want to be what God wants me to be and be where God can bless me. And so David, in this psalm, is going to focus on that issue. And as a result of that, he brings out two great desires in verse 26 related to that thought that he didn't want to destroy his life. And I want to focus, first of all, this morning on those two great desires. We'll spend most of our time on the first one, and then hit the second one. But the first desire of David, or those two great desires, is in verse 1. And David's first desire, or his first great desire, was that he might never again slide, or he might never again slip, if you will, in his spiritual life. He says in verse 1, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide." And that is his desire. He says, I don't want to slide, or it's the same thing as our word slip. I don't want to slide. I don't want to slip. He didn't want to slip in his walk with God. He didn't want to slide in his spiritual relationship with the Lord. He didn't want to slide in his spiritual life. Now, the word slide in that verse, or the word slip, if you will, I'll probably keep saying slip, but it's the same word. The word slide or slip in that verse is oftentimes defined just as we would traditionally define it. As we think of slide, we just came out of all this cold weather. If you're like me, you saw a few cars who slid off the road and into the ditch, and they kind of slid off the path I'm sure they wanted to be on. I'm pretty confident they had no desire to be in the ditch. And so they slid off the path they desired to be on and slid into the ditch. And that's how we oftentimes define the word or think of this word. David, of course, wasn't talking about cars, obviously. He's talking about his relationship with the Lord or his walk with the Lord. He says, I don't want my life to slide off into the ditch. I don't want it to slip off into the ditch. I don't want to get off the path that I'm supposed to be on and I desire to be on. Again, that's how we traditionally define the word. But the Hebrew word from which we get the English word slide is a little different than that. It's a little more detailed than that. And it doesn't mean exactly to slide in the traditional sense of sliding. It's a little easier to picture the definition than it is to define it. We should be familiar with this. We just came out of all this cold weather. And if you've ever been walking out in the cold and you inadvertently or unexpectedly step on a spot of ice, you don't know it's coming, and boom, you step on it. The next thing you know, your legs are flying everywhere, and you're doing some kind of weird tap dance, which I will not illustrate, amen. But you're doing that, and your arms are helicoptering around all over the place, and you're shouting, whoa, 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 as loud as you can, but nothing seems to make any difference. If you can understand that, then you can understand the Hebrew word that's defined as slide here. It means to be in the point of slipping, or in the midst, or in the process of sliding, or slipping, if you will. Now, there's two things. If you step on a spot of ice unexpectedly, you're doing this strange tap dance and your arms are helicoptering around and you're shouting, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's two things about your situation at that moment that's true. Number one, you're pretty much as useless as you're ever going to be in your entire life. All right, when you're doing that, you're tap dancing around, your arms are helicoptering around, you're shouting, whoa, 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 you're not going to accomplish great things in your life at that moment. You're certainly not going to accomplish great things for God at that moment, because you're pretty much in a useless position at that time, all right? Secondly, the second thing that's true about that scenario is that one of two things are going to happen. You are either A, going to right yourself and get back up where you're supposed to be, where you can accomplish something, or B, you're going down hard and you are most likely going to break something important in your life. And so one of two things are true in that situation. So David's saying in our text, I don't want to, he's not saying, I don't want to fall, though I'm sure ultimately that's his goal. That's not what he's saying in the text. What David is saying is in the text, I don't ever want to put myself again in the position, I don't ever want to put myself again in, as far as my walk with God, where I either am going to right myself or I'm going to crash and break important things in my life. David says, I don't want to get my spiritual life in the place where I'm going to go either one of two ways. I'm either going to pull myself out of this slough that I've gotten myself into. I'm either going to pull myself out of this coldness that I've gotten myself into. I'm either going to pull myself out of this scenario that I'm in, or I'm going to pull away from God and I'm going to destroy the good that God has done in my life. David says, I don't want to put myself in the position where I'm going to tip at some point one way or the other. Now again, I'm sure David's ultimate goal was, I don't want to fall. But right now his concern is, I don't want to put myself in the danger of falling. I don't want to put myself in that spot where there's this phase of my life, where there's this period in my life where I'm going to go one way or the other. David said, I want to avoid that. I don't want to find myself or put myself in that position. David could speak to this because there had been several times in his life where he did just that, where he put himself in that spot. We could name them. Many of you would recognize them. He multiplied wives in disobedience to God's word. That got him in a whole lot of trouble. He ran and hid from Saul at one point, and he ran to the Philistines rather than trusting God and put himself in a terrible position spiritually. He numbered the people out of pride and got himself in a lot of trouble. And of course, most of us are familiar with the sin with Bathsheba and what he did in relationship to her husband Uriah. Man, what a dangerous place he was. And we read that story and focus on the sin, but we don't think about the fact of how dangerous the position David was in spiritually at that point. And we don't realize sometimes that David at that moment in his life, or that phase of his life, or that time of his life, could have tipped one way or the other. Right. Now, fortunately for us, and fortunately for salvation, all the things that are related to David, David pulled himself out of that. He righted himself and got back where he was supposed to be. But do you understand how easily it could have gone the other way? How easily he could have just given up. How easily he could have pulled back from the things of God, pulled away from the things of God, grown colder from the things of God, until finally he just crashed. And man, would he have not broken much in his life had he crashed. And so David says at this point, I don't want to be in that spot again. I don't want to put myself in such a spot again. I want to be in that place again in my life. Now, anybody that's been saved any length of time or has been serious about church knows somebody who's no longer serving God. Maybe they grew up in a Christian home. They grew up in Christian school. They grew up serving the Lord. Now they're not serving God anymore, or they had a family and were serving God. Whatever the scenario is, we all know people who aren't serving God anymore. And we would probably also be able to give testimony to the fact that we know people who are not only not serving God anymore, but who have broken in the process some important things in their life. We all know people like that, or have known people like that. And we see the fall. We see the aftermath. We see the brokenness. We see the destruction, and we see the result of it. And we think to ourselves, what a horrible situation, what a waste. You know, as a pastor, when you see somebody who begins to pull away and pull back and distance themselves, and they start disengaging from God's service, and then they start missing, and then before you long, they're not serving God anymore, you think, what a waste. So much potential, so much that God could have done in their life, so much God could have done in their family, and now look where they are. They've just wasted it all. And you think, what a terrible, terrible waste of a saved life. But what we have to understand is that while we see the fall, that before there was ever a fall, there was always a slip. Before there was ever a fall, there was always a slide. And while David, I'm sure, didn't want to fall, his concern at this point was that I might not slide, that I might not slip. There was always a position. Every saved person who's no longer serving God today, there was a phase in their life, a period in their life, a time in their life, where they found themselves spiritually where they were going to go one of two ways. And unfortunately, they tipped the wrong way. And they pulled away from God and pulled away from the things of God and have broken much in their life. David's saying in our text, I don't want to do that again because it makes me useless to God. It endangers my saved life. I don't want to put myself in that spot. Now listen, if you're saved today, if you're not saved, you've got more to worry about. You need to worry about being lost, a condemnation, eternity in a devil's hell. You've got to worry about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you're saved this morning, we should be worried about falling. I don't want to fall. I've seen people fall. I don't want to be one of those sad stories. I don't want to be one of those pictures people look at and say, remember him? Man, he used to pastor church and look at him now. I don't want to be that person who says, he used to teach Sunday school. He taught our class. He led me to the Lord. And look at him now. I don't want to be one of those. But before we worry about falling, I would submit to you this morning that probably our biggest concern should be sliding. Because before there's ever a fall, there's always a slip. There's always a time in our life where we're going to go one way or the other. And that's the time we should be looking for. If you fall, isn't God good? Isn't God merciful that if we'll turn to him in repentance and forgiveness, he'll forgive us, put us back on the solid rock, point us back in the direction that we should go? God doesn't always fix the broken things, but he can restore us and put us back to serving him. But I would tell you this morning, it's far better to catch it before you slip than it is to try to fix a fall. Amen? I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know people's hearts, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's not someone here this morning, or maybe somebody listening this morning, who's already slipping in their spiritual life. You're not out in gross sin, you're not out doing horrible things, but you're already pulling away. You're already growing cold toward the things of God. You've already lost your joy in serving him. And you're getting distant and more cold or colder all the time. And you're slipping. You haven't fallen. You're not in some grief, horrible sin. But you're closely, if you're not there already, you're closely coming to a point in your life where it's going to go one way or the other. You're going to pull yourself out and get right with God, or you're going to pull away from him until you break something in your life. If that's you this morning, you're in a dangerous, dangerous place. David says, I don't want to be in that spot. And the trouble is that people, when they're in this spot, even though the signs of slipping are everywhere and the signs of falling are everywhere, they don't acknowledge it. You know, it's kind of like slipping on ice. There comes a point we're either going to grab a hold of something substantial, you're either going to grab a hold of something steady and pull yourself out, or you're going to fall and break something. Yeah, right. And if you're here today and you're not where you used to be, if you're here today and your walk with God's not what it was a year ago or 5 years ago, if you're here this morning and you used to be so fired up and so excited about the things of God and so excited about Bible reading and teaching a class and doing those things, and you're pulling back and pulling back, the signs are everywhere. Listen, I need to tell you this morning, you need to grab a hold of God and get right with him before you tip the wrong way. Amen. And so David says, I don't want to be in that spot or get myself in that spot. You with me so far? Amen. The second great desire that David had is in verse 7. Verse 7, it's pretty simple and self-explanatory. He says, I want this to be the case, I don't want to slip, so that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works. David said this. He says, I want to publish. The word publish means what you might think. It means to make heard. In this case, to make others hear his voice. And so David said, I want other people to know how good God is. And I want them to know what God can do in their life. And I want them to know how amazing it is, to use our terminology, I want them to know how amazing it is to be saved. I want them to know the joy of a marriage based in salvation and the things of God and the truth of God's word. I want them to know a family based in the house of God and the things of God. I want them to know just how good it is to serve God and how wonderful he is, how amazing it is, how thankful I am for what God has done in my life. And David had the realization that though he wanted that, you can't do that in a position of slipping. Right, that's right. Listen, when you're doing this strange dance and your arms are swirling around in the air, you can't exactly tell people how good Jesus is. And when we're pulling away from God and we're getting colder and colder and more distant, the next thing you know, we're pulling out of responsibilities, we're missing church more. Next thing you know, well, we would be there, but we're always sick, and there's always this happening, and this is always going on, and this is always taking place. And when we get past this, then we'll get serious again. You are worthless at that moment when it comes to being a testimony to the goodness of God. And David says, I want that in my life. I don't want to slip so that I don't fall. And I want to be able to be a testimony for my God. And I realize I can't do that when I'm going in a phase of my life where I could go either way myself spiritually. Amen? You with me? So David says, this is what I want to avoid. This is what I don't want to happen in my life. Now listen to me this morning. David accomplished that at this time in his life. Yes, he did. Look at verse 12. Look what David says in verse 12 at the end of the psalm. My foot standeth in an even place. That's the response to the first part. David says, I don't want to slip. I don't want to slide. The word even place means firm ground, solid ground. David says, I'm not going to slip because I am standing on even ground. I've accomplished this in my life to the point that I'm standing on firm ground. I'm in a place right now in my life where there's no question of tipping. I'm solidly serving God and living for Him. This is exactly where I want to be. So he accomplished the first one. I don't want to slide. But then he also accomplished his second request. It was in verse 7 about publishing the things of God. Because notice what he says in verse 12. My foot standeth in even place. And the next he says, in the congregation, I will bless the Lord. I'm going to tell of the goodness of God and how good God is. I'm going to bless God because I'm in an even place where I'm able to do that. You with me so far? David says, here's my two great desires. I don't want to slip. I don't want to put myself in the position where I could go either way when it comes to God. And then secondly, David says this, I want to stay where I can bless Him and give thanksgiving unto God. And we get to verse 12, David says, I'm here to testify, I'm standing on even ground. And I'm able to give testimony to the goodness of my God. So David accomplished it in his life. Isn't that good? Or at least at this phase of his life, he accomplished that. David said, at this moment, I'm standing on solid ground. So here's the question. How did David do that? How did he accomplish that? How did he manage to, I'm trying to think of, how did he manage to prevent sliding in his life? How did he manage slide prevention, amen, in his life? How did he keep himself from slipping and putting himself in that place, that dangerous place? Because here's the key, that is that when we walk rightly, God will help us to keep from slipping. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Look over a few psalms to Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, look what David wrote in Psalm 18 in verse 36. He said this in verse 36. Speaking of God, he says, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me. He says, that my feet did not slip. He says, there's a way to enlarge your steps under you. There's a way to stand on firm ground so that you're not constantly in danger of slipping. Now, we understand today that slipping is something that has to be constantly maintained. But David says, there's things that I can do that God will help enlarge my steps, step me on firm ground so that I won't slip and destroy all the good that God has done in my life. Listen, I've been there and so have you, so don't look too judgmental at me. I hate being in the place of my life where I could go either way. I've never really been in a place since I got saved and got right with God where I could just ruin my life. But I've been in the place where it wouldn't have been that difficult for me to pull farther back and farther back and farther back until finally I wasn't serving Him anymore. I hate being in that place. I like being on solid ground. I like being on even ground. I like my steps enlarged under me where I'm not living in moment by moment danger of falling and destroying everything in my life. David managed that. So how did he manage it? Well, let's look in Psalm 26, and David tells us how he did it. Everybody still awake? Psalm 26, David tells us how he did it. You're not going to like all of it, but he does tell us how he did it. First thing that David did is in verse 1 and verse 2. The first thing that he did is this. He asked God for a serious and in-depth examination of his spiritual life. He asked God for a serious, in-depth examination of his spiritual life. Look what he says in verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. David asked for a serious, in-depth examination of his spiritual life. Do you know why so many of God's people get in the place where they slip and they could go one of two ways? Some pull out, some fall. You know why some never pull out and fall? You know why we get in the place where we're slipping in the first place? It's because we become too confident in our own estimation of the quality of our spiritual walk. We become too confident in how we think that we are doing with God. We become too confident in our evaluation of where we are spiritually. And the problem is, just like in Proverbs 21:2, where it says, we're always right. We're always all right for our context. We are always all right in our own eyes. Yes. Listen, you and I are terrible at evaluating our own spiritual life. Yes. And we're not very good evaluating our own spiritual walk because we're always all right in our own spiritual eyes. That's why when you're a pastor and you pull somebody in and say, listen, brother, I'm worried about you. You know, you used to be involved in all this stuff and now you're surrendering all this stuff. You're pulling back. You're missing more church than you ever missed. And it's not like I think you're out in sin, but there's something going on with you spiritually. Are you okay? Here's the answer. I'm okay. Preacher, everything's okay. It's all right. There's just right now where you've heard it before. Just right now we're going through this and this is happening. And we're kind of busy. And we've been really sick. And I think kind of some people make a living. We've just been really sick and this is going on and that's happening and this is taking place. But I'm okay. That's what you hear. Because we're always all right in our own eyes. You know, the book of Judges is kind of the textbook on sliding and slipping. And there's two passages in chapter 17 and chapter 21 of the book of Judges where the problem in the book of Judges is defined. And in both those chapters it says this, every man was all right, paraphrasing, every man was all right in his own eyes. Every man was all right by his own estimation. Every man was okay based by his own examination of his own spiritual life. Do you know that in marriage, it doesn't just matter how you think your relationship is? I've had over the years, been doing this a long time, had a number of couples in the office over the years, and you got him and her sitting there, and you... we'll pick on him. We say, well, brother, how do you think your relationship is? How do you think your marriage is going? Here's what I hear. Oh, preacher, it's okay. I mean, it's going great. Things are good. I mean, they're really good. Things are just great. Well, that's good. And you turn to her, Mrs. So-and-so. What do you think? And then she just starts weeping. Because her evaluation is not the same as his. It doesn't matter in spiritual things just what you think. It doesn't matter just how we evaluate ourselves. Because we're not very good at evaluating our relationship with him. So David, what David did was to call on God for a serious, no holes barred, in-depth appraisal of where he was spiritually. You with me? Now David uses some pretty serious words in verses 1 through 2. And we don't have time to get into them in depth, but I'll just briefly tell you what they mean. He calls on God to do this serious in-depth evaluation. The very first thing that he calls on God to do in verse 1 is to judge him. He says, Lord, judge me. I don't know if David thought he was okay. I don't know if David was saying, Lord, I think I'm okay. I think I'm all right, but judge me. He calls on God to judge him. Now, the word judge me here simply means an overall appraisal. He says, just do an overall appraisal. Just do a walkthrough. You know, just an overall appraisal of where I am. Just do an overview of my spiritual life. And if there's something, if there's some area in my life, or if my life is in the point where I'm beginning to slip and I can't see it, obviously his desire is that God might show him. And so he gets on his face before God and he says, God, I don't know. In my eyes, I think I'm okay. But there are some people who see some things in me that maybe think I'm slipping. My wife has said something about the fact that we're not serving God like we used to, or I feel like maybe I'm colder than I used to be, and I'm not very good at evaluating myself. So God, do an overall appraisal of where I am spiritually and let me know where I am. So he asks for that. And then secondly, he not only asks for that, but then he says in verse 2, examine me, O Lord. We tend to do for ourselves what David asked God to do. We tend to do overall appraisals, walkthroughs of our spiritual life. And when we walk through our spiritual life, most of the time, what do we determine? Nah, we're okay. I'm not perfect, but I'm okay. Things aren't too bad. I think we're okay. Overall, preacher, I'm okay. Everything is good. But David didn't stop at an overview by himself. David doesn't even stop at asking God to do an overview. He asked God first to do an overview. This is kind of like David saying, God, if there's just anything obvious, just tell me now and let me know. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, God, examine me. You don't have to be some kind of Hebrew scholar to realize there's a difference between overview and examine. He says, examine me. And what he's saying is this. He asked God not just for an overview, but that God would dig into his spiritual life. That God would dig into his thoughts and his intents and his motives and his excuses and his reasons. That he would dig into his spiritual life. And he's saying, God, just dig in. And if there's something there that I can't see, there's something there I'm unwilling to see. If there's something there I'm refusing to see. Oh, if there's something there I've gotten so cold I can't see. Show me. Dig in and find. Wade through the excuses and the reasons and the causes. Dig into why I'm not what I once was. And show me. If I'm okay, show me that. But show me. And then thirdly, it gets worse. Thirdly, David says, Lord, and if it's necessary, prove me. Now, before I say anything about prove me, let me say this. You got to be pretty serious about wanting to be right with God. This is why it's hard for people who are sliding to get right. Because there comes a point in sliding where you get far enough from God that you get cold enough that you just don't have the concern to ask for something like this. But he says, Lord, overview me. If you see anything obvious, show me. And God, if there's nothing on the surface, now we know God sees all this. This is for our benefit and our understanding. He says, God, if you don't see anything on the surface, then dig in. Check out my thoughts, my motives, my intents, my reasons. When I say we're always sick or we're always busy or right now we can't, show me if that's just not true. And most of the time we already know the answer to that. But he says, dig in and let me see anything that might be a hindrance or cause for me sliding. And then he says, prove me. Here's what this means. He says, Lord, and if it's necessary, test me. If it's necessary, test some area of my life. Put me in a position that will show me that I'm slipping. Put me in a position that will force me to see that I'm not where I should be spiritually. That's quite a request. Put me in a position where it'll become evident to me where I really am spiritually. Because I don't want to just be okay, preacher. I want to know I'm right. I want to be on firm ground like I once was. So prove me. You with me? Now if you think that's tough, this is hardcore, the next one. He says, Lord, and if it comes to it, try me. Try my reins and my heart. The word reins is the same idea as our word mind or thinking. Try my thinking and try my heart. The word try, what makes this tough is, the word try here is the same word that's used in the Bible for putting metal in the fire to bring impurities to the surface. Man, this is a tougher quest. Lord, if it's necessary, if I'm slipping and I can't see it, or more than likely, if I'm slipping and I'm refusing to see it, then put me in the fire if it comes to that, and put me in a situation that it brings to the surface where I really am. I would submit to you this morning, you got to want to be right with God to pray that. But this is what David requested, because he says, I don't want to slip. Judge me, examine me, prove me, try me. This is a hardcore in-depth evaluation by God of your spiritual life. You know, there are people, I have no doubt, between the internet and the live stream and everybody who's here, there are people in the sound of my voice who are slipping. You're either coming into or right now in a position where if you continue on, you're going to go one of two ways. You're going to pull out and get right with God, or you're just going to keep pulling away from God until something you think right now could never happen happens. And you crash and burn. And you say, hey, it's okay, I'm okay. And if I were to come to you and say, man, I'm worried about you, what's going on? Oh, preacher, I'm okay. Everything is just fine. Everything is going to be okay. Well, let me challenge you with this. Why don't you spend some real time in prayer this week? And spend some real time in God's Word this week. And why don't you ask God to do for you what David asked God to do for him? Lord, examine me. Do an appraisal of my spiritual walk. And through my Bible reading and prayer time, let me know how I really am doing. Lord, just don't do an overview. Lord, please dig in. Because I don't want to put my family in a position where we could go either way. Just dig in. And as the father, or as the mom, or as the spiritual leader of home, or as a young person, or a single person, Lord, I want to know if I'm slipping. And if I'm not seeing it, if I've gotten so cold I can't see it, then just dig in, and through my Bible reading this week and prayer time, show me. Listen, show me what I probably already know. That I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And Lord, if you have to, prove me. If I just refuse to see it, then test me. Put me in a position where I can see it. And Lord, I would hate for this to happen, but if it has to, put me in the fire and manifest where I really am. If I just will not see it. Can I help you out? I wouldn't start with the bottom of the list. But Lord, if I just refuse to see it, I'm so concerned with God, just put me in a fire if it's necessary, because there's too much at risk. Too much at risk. So if you're today and other people have seen it in your life and you've seen it and you know good and well that you're colder toward God now than you were, if you think everything's okay because that's your evaluation, why don't you spend some time with God this week and ask Him to evaluate you? That's what David did. You with me? He said, evaluate me, search me. Look over in Psalm 139. This is not the only time David asked for this. David asked for it multiple times in his life. He said in Psalm 139, verse 23, David says basically the same thing again in Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. There's that heart and reins again. He says, search me, O Lord, know my heart and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. That's the same thing as saying, show me and then lead me out of it. Because I don't want to be in the position of slipping. David took this pretty seriously. Now listen to me and we'll move on. Most slipping people will not do this. Most slipping people will not do this, which is why most people, when they slip, ultimately fall. Though sitting here today, they would think, no way. Every person who's fallen has been at some point in their life saying, no way. And so the average slipping person won't do this. And they won't do it for two reasons. First of all, because most already know they're slipping. If you're saved today, you know whether you are where you should be. You know whether you're colder toward God than you used to be. You know that you're pulling back and pulling away. You already know it. And so most people don't need an evaluation. They already know it. Now they may have to ask God to make them see it, but they know it already. And secondly, some won't do it. Some slipping people won't do it because, listen, they've slipped far enough that they've grown cold enough now that they just don't have the spiritual energy to get right. And the only thing that's going to change anything is when they fall and break something. And then laying there in the destruction, they're going to say, what have I done? I've got to get right with God. You understand why David feared slipping? because it's a dangerous, dangerous place to be in. Amen? Now, if we're serious about not getting ourselves in a place of slipping, then we've got to be serious about asking God to constantly do no-hold-barred evaluations of our spiritual life. And in my Bible, and if you're not spending time in your Bible, if you're not faithful to church, if you're not spending time in prayer, then you're just wasting your breath. Because those are the avenues through which God speaks to us. And so we've got to go to Him and say, God, just constantly examine me. Let me know. Because I'm not very good at evaluating myself. I don't want to be useless. I don't want to be a picture that somebody points to and said, oh, the fall. Because before there's ever a fall, there's a slip. Now, as necessary as all that is, and we'll wrap this up quick as we can here, as necessary as all this is, it's not enough just to ask God to examine you. We've also got to take some responsibility for our saved life. God's not going to fix you. He'll show you. He'll let you know where you are. He tells us in His Word how to fix it. So we've got to take some responsibility for our saved life. I got to grab a hold of something and do the best I can to pull myself out. And so David, after he asked God to examine himself, David then makes some, David lists some things in the 26th Psalm that he has already determined to do and that he's going to determine to do in order to keep himself from being in a place of slipping. And he does that, notice in verse 1, he says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity, and I have trusted also in the Lord. Now, we don't have time to go into all the weeds of the definition of these words, but it means integrity and trusted. It's the same thing as David saying this, I believe God's word. Therefore, I have determined to walk upright and righteously before Him in obeying it. David's saying, I believe God. And I believe His word. And I believe that if I will live in obedience to His word, that God will bless me. And He will enlarge my steps under me. Then He will keep me from slipping. If I will just obey His word. And I believe Him. So this is David's position. He asks God to examine him. He says, but above and beyond that, I believe God's word. And I believe that if I will obey His word, He'll enlarge my steps. And God can keep me from slipping if I will obey His word. So to walk uprightly and not slip, there were some things that he had determined to do and some things he had determined he was going to do. And again, we don't have time to go into every one of them, but just notice them quickly. We'll read them and flip by them. First of all, he determined this, that he was going to live and direct his life by way of obedience to God's word. Look what he says at the end of verse 3. I have walked in thy truth. David says, I have determined that I'm going to find out what God says about everything and do it. I'm going to obey God's word. I'm not going to make excuses for it. I'm not going to talk about the culture. I'm not going to talk about a different time. I'm not going to talk about the Bible being outdated. I'm not going to talk about how that won't work for us, that won't fit for us. I'm just going to find out what God says, and I'm going to do it. And if God says don't do it, I'm not going to fuss about it or argue about it. I don't even care if I understand it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to live in obedience to God's word. So David says, I don't want to slip. I've asked God to examine me, but that's not enough. I've got to be proactive as well. And so here's what I'm going to do. I've determined I'm going to live in obedience to God's word. This would be the first great step toward filling churches up, toward making people faithful to all the services, to serving God and raising their kids in the house of God, if they would just determine, I'm just going to obey God's word. And quit talking about excuses and reasons and causes that we know aren't true. And just obey His word. Amen. Secondly, David says, I've determined to do that. Everybody still awake? Amen. David says, I've determined to do that. Then secondly, he says, I've determined to walk uprightly and not slip. He says, and so therefore there's some things I've determined to do. First, I've determined to obey God's word. But then secondly, I've determined not to spend time or make friendships with vain people. He says in verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons. He says, I'm determined that I'm going to be selective with when it comes to the people that I spend time with. And I'm not going to spend time with vain people. Now, you know what vain means? Vain means empty. The best description of vain or the best definition of vain is if you blow into your hand, what do you got? Nothing. That's the definition of the word vain. He says, I'm not going to spend my time. I'm not going to invest my friendships. My fellowship is not going to be with people who are empty. Well, what in the world does that mean? He's talking about spiritual things. He says, I'm not going to hang out with people who are living for empty things, who are living for useless things, who are living for things that don't matter. Most of this world are living vain lives. They love their kids. They love their family. That's not in dispute. But they're not living for the things of God. They're living for retirement and for recognition and for more money and for their career and for their house and for their job. David says, I'm not going to invest my time in people who aren't living for something that matters. I'm going to hang out with God's people who are living for eternal things, who are trying to raise not good kids, but godly kids, who are not trying to have a good marriage, but a godly marriage, who are trying to live their life like God wants them to. I'm sick and tired of hanging out with people, David would say, who aren't living for anything, who are just chasing the next thing that the world says they need. David says, I'm not going to hang out with those kind of people. Did he hate them? No. But he says, I don't need to be around those kind of people because we are all prone to that. When you're slipping, you don't need somebody grabbing a hold of you and pulling you down. He says, I'm not hanging around with vain people. Thirdly, told you we got to fly here. Thirdly, David didn't want to get in the place of slipping, so he also determined that he would not keep company with dissemblers. You don't want to hang out with dissemblers. Verse 4, I will not sit with vain persons, and I will not go in with dissemblers. You know what a dissembler is? Again, we don't have time to get into the weeds of it. But it means somebody who hides something. You see, when we think of dissemblers, we think of people who are trying to destroy unity, for example. And so they sneak around hiding things that they're saying. You know what we're talking about. Talking little corners and hiding things. Well, dissembler is somebody, that's in reference to gossip, but dissemblers are people who hide things. The word also is used, probably more applicable here, to people who hide from things. David says, I don't want to hang out with people who are trying to hide from God. And I don't want to hang out with people who are hiding from their responsibilities to God. I don't want to hang out with people who are hiding from their need to be saved. That's not the kind of people I want around me all the time. I want to hang around with people who are facing life through the truth of God's word and are living for Him. David says, I don't want to slip. And if I don't want to slip, these are the kind of people I need to be around, not dissemblers. Amen? Amen. Fourthly, David determined that he was going to not going to expose his life to people who have no shame in sin, who openly violate God's word. Verse 25, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. David says, I've determined if I don't want to slip, Brother Chad, I can't hang out with people who make a mock of sin, who have no shame in sin. I can't hang out with people who tell filthy jokes and their language is filthy. I don't need to be around people who are drunk or drinkers. I don't need to be around people like that. I don't need to be around people who tell filthy humor or watch pornography or involved in filthy stuff. That's not good for me. When you're falling, don't grab a hold of somebody who's falling harder than you. He says, I don't need to be around that. I don't want to be around people who laugh at sin, who mock what God's people are, who laugh at the idea that something is sin or something is disobedience to God's word, and who mock it. I don't want to be around that because I don't want to slip. And my nature's already bent that way. So I don't need to be around that if I don't want to slip. I need to be around people who are standing on an enlarged spot, who are standing on solid ground. If you're slipping or coming to the place in your life where you're slipping, and you have a choice between grabbing hold of this guy over here who's standing on solid ground or this guy over here who's falling just as hard as you, grab the guy who's on firm ground. David says, I don't want to be around people. I don't need to be around drinkers and cursers and people who make a mock of sin. I don't need to be around people who fill their mind with filth and talk like filthy people. I don't think we have a good word. I'm running out of descriptions. I don't need to be around that because I don't want to slip. It influences me too much. Fifthly, he determined that he didn't want to slip, and so he determined to be constantly about the matter of repentance and cleansing in his life. He says in verse 26, He says, I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar. He says, I'm going to spend time with God. The reference there about washing his hands is when the priest used to come to the altar before he approached God, he had to go by way of the laver and wash his hands. It typified spiritual cleansing. And so he says, I know I can't hang out with God if I've got unconfessed, unrepentant sin in my life. And so I'm going to make a practice of being constantly aware, Brother Warren, of sin in my life. And I'm going to confess my sin and spend time at God's altar. And instead of making excuses for my sin and excuses for my coldness, I'm going to be quick to confess it. And if God speaks to my heart in a service, I'm going to beat it to the altar. And if God speaks to me in a Sunday school class, I'm going to get down before God and get it right. And if I'm reading my Bible and God reaches out and grabs a hold of me and says, hey, you're violating my words, you're wrong, you're leading your family in the right direction, I'm going to get on my knees and say, God, I am sorry. Amen. And I'm going to be constantly, quick at repentance and cleansing and confession. Because I don't want to slip, and I don't want to drag my family down with me. And so I'm not going to slip. And then lastly, to keep from slipping, this one is missed so much today. Then lastly, to keep from slipping, David determined that he was going to cultivate a love for God's house. But now listen, not just any house, but the house where God is honored. Look what he says in verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. He says, I want to be around people. I want to be in the church where God's holiness is exalted, where his sanctification is exalted, where it's exalted that God is not like us. He's different. That you don't worship God like at a rock concert. You worship God in holiness and sanctification. An amazement about who and what God is. He says, I want to be someplace where the holiness, the perfection, the goodness of God, the love of God is exalted. I want to be around people who do it because that's what I need if I don't want to slip. I'm going to cultivate a love for God's house, a place where others who don't want to slip either honor God by obeying his word. You know, David was proactive in making some decisions that helped to keep him from slipping. He asked God to judge him, to evaluate his spiritual life, to let him know if he was slipping. And in addition to that, he made some determinations in his life. And that's how he got from verse 1, examine me, to verse 12, where David said, I'm standing on firm ground. God's examined me, and I've made these determinations, and it's enabled me at this moment in my life to be standing on firm ground. That's where I want to be in verse 12. But if you leave it up to your old flesh, you're going to slip until you fall. David closes out 26 in verses 9 through 12. He says, gather not my soul with sinners. I don't want to be a part of that. He says, in whose hands is mischief? I don't want to be full of that and the crookedness of this world in verse 10. He says, I want to walk in mine integrity. I want to experience the mercy of God in my life. And that's when he says, summarizes verse 12, when he says, right now, because of these steps that I've taken, I'm standing on firm ground. If you're saved this morning, I mean, you're saved in the sense that you've been born again. God's changed your life. You know how to be saved. You know how you got saved, when you were saved, who was there. It wasn't something that happened to you over time. There was a specific moment in your life where you got saved. If that's you this morning, what's your desire? Do you want to be on fire? I mean, do you want to be passionate about your Lord? Do you want to be serving him, doing more, not less? Do you want to be engaged? Do you want to be in a place, as David says, where I can tell other people, man, how good God is. And I'm so thankful for what he's done in my family, in my life, and my children. I'm just so thankful for all that God has done. And I want you to know him too. Is that what you want in your life? Then if that's the case, you better be concerned about slipping. And I think every one of us this morning ought to at times evaluate our life. Be concerned about whether or not we're slipping. What's your evaluation? Now listen, I'm done. What's your evaluation of where you are? Are you where you once were? Would you be lying if you said, as far as coldness, I'm just as close to God as I ever was? Do you feel the coldness in your life? Is there distance between you and God? And you know it. Is that your evaluation? Then you need to hit the altar this morning and say, God, I got to get right. I don't want to mess around here until I fall. Because if you don't get right, I don't care how confident you are, it will never happen. If you don't get right, you will fall. Sooner or later, you're going to break something that maybe can't be fixed. You ought to hit the altar this morning and get right with Him. If you're here this morning and maybe there's the warning signs there, you're not sure, maybe it's time to hit the old-fashioned altar and or maybe this week and say, God, would you evaluate me? I think I'm okay. If somebody came to me and said, brother, I'm worried about you, I'd say, oh, I'm okay. It's going to be fine. Maybe we need to ask God, and probably should from time to time, to do an in-depth, no-hold-barred evaluation of where we are. God, show me the reality of where I am. Am I standing on as firm a ground as I think? Or are there things in my life I'm not seeing? Amen? We need God to examine us because I'm always okay. You know why? Because I always have a reason or excuse or a cause. Sometimes I need God to grab a hold of me and say, you're not where you think you are. Asking God to evaluate us should be a regular part of our prayer life if we want to avoid slipping. Make some determinations. Maybe here today and you're saved. Maybe you're saved when you were a kid and you used to serve God and you used to be so passionate about the things of God. Maybe where you are today is you need to make some determinations in your life and stop goofing around. And just say, I'm going to determine that we're going to hang out at the house of God. I'm determined. I'm not hanging around with vain people. I'm not going to hang around with sinners. I'm not going to hang around with those. I know what I want and what I need to be. And so we're going to determine to bless God. We're going to get it done and start serving Him. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you're already fallen because you're laying where we all used to lay. You're fallen before a holy God. The good news is He wants to save you. If you'd come, we'd love to take a Bible. Say this every single service. We'd love to take a Bible, show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not how you can have an experience, not how you can feel something, but how you can take what God's Word says and apply what Jesus did on the cross to your sin and know the forgiveness that only God can give. And then He can put you on the solid rock where you can start living for Him. We'd love to help you. You can't fix it until you get up. And the only way to get up if you're lost is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd love to help you with that. So if you're here today and you're saved, where are you? And if you're slipping, if you're not where you should be, just don't act like you're not. Do business with God. That's what this is all about. And get right with Him. And if we can help you, we'll do anything we can. Have a verse of invitation. Come kneel down, fall fashion altar, and just talk with God and say, God, I am not where I need to be. I don't want to fall. And I need to get right. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I think I'm okay. Would you let me know if I'm not? Examine me. I'll guarantee you, God will show you if you're not where you're supposed to be. And then lastly, if you're not saved, just slip out from where I come right down front and say, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. I want to know forgiveness. I want to have a relationship with God. We'll take you aside privately, show you out of the Scriptures how you can know that you're saved. Or we'll set up a Bible study with you where we can take you through the Scriptures and spend some time and show you in the Bible what you need to do. Why don't you stand with me if you would.